Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, fellow patriots, preppers, redoubters, survival bloggers, and brothers and sisters in the faith. You just tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt, the voice of the American Redoubt and the Redoubt movement that's taking hold across America and who knows where else. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, honored to be your host and excited about the times we're living in. What? You're not excited about living in an unfolding history book? I guess for some people that equates to uncertainty, fear, and trepidation. The times that are coming are the times that try men's souls. You better toughen up, Buttercup, and quit ignoring the fact that there's a storm coming and changes are coming. And as iron sharpens iron, we need each other. A lot of people are mourning our nation and the loss of our liberties and our freedoms and our heritage. But our Judeo-Christian American heritage isn't lost. It's in our hearts and in our souls, and they can't take that away. A lot of you are in hyper-prepper mode. Just keep in mind, there's no such thing as the end. Never has been. Only the end of a season or the end of an era, each creating a new beginning. If you're preparing for the end, you need to change the way you think. You should be preparing for a new beginning. Most of you preppers should keep this in mind. Your preparations are to get you through times of hardship, calamity, and a societal, economic, and maybe even a political collapse, so you can stay on your own land and not have to take yourself and your family to sign into a so-called relief or refugee center. So you'll be healthy and strong and self-sufficient for the after. And contribute. Now, for many of you, that means getting out of harm's way, leaving the urban sprawl and liberal anti-American cesspools you're living in and relocating to a safe haven, a refuge for liberty-loving, God-fearing, patriot Americans who to weather the coming storm, a redoubt. And that's what the American Redoubt is rapidly becoming as so many of you move here to join so many that are already here, and other emerging and future redoubts across the continent. There, I had to get all that off my chest. People keep asking me what I think about the presidential elections. Obama or Obama light? Don't care. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing both of them talk. I just want to vomit whenever I hear either of their voices. The most effective thing you can do is to get involved on a state and local level. Send people to your county government and especially your state capitals who can and will assert your state's rights and sovereignty against an ever-encroaching federal government. The one in the Oval Office right now is a Marxist socialist at best. The other one is a big government, big spending, government is the solution kind of candidate. The right person for the job never stepped forward and might never be known. I don't know who it is. He or she will probably never be known. No, it's not Ron Paul. Sorry. Yeah, he would have been better than the two yahoos that are going at it for the position right now, at least on a lot of the issues. But ideal? Nope. You see, while everyone's distracted with the presidential freak show going on, and you're all debating about who is better for America, people are scheming to tighten the noose on you right in your own communities. In your counties and in your cities, they're implementing Agenda 21 right under your noses because you've got it so far up in the air watching two imbeciles duke it out for a position where they don't call any of the shots anyway. Oh, you want to argue that the next president might have to appoint the next Supreme Court justices or two? How'd that work out with Obamacare? Thought you were safe with Justice Roberts in there, eh? Yeah, we got the rug pulled right out from under us on that one, didn't we? Remember what I've said, and I'll say it again. Whenever they're telling you, look over there, you better have eyes in the back of your head. You better be looking somewhere else. Right in your own backyard, right in your own state legislatures, in your own counties, and in your own towns. That's where you better be identifying the people who are going to represent your values and get behind them and put your energy into getting them elected. That's where the fight to preserve Americanism will be fought and won. Before, during, and especially after the storm. That's what I believe with all my heart. There. So many of you wanted to know how I felt about some of this stuff. Well, that's where I stand. All right, we have several things to cover tonight. As I mentioned in a posting on the website yesterday, we'll be joined by James Wesley Rawls, and that'll be in the next segment, to talk about the new release of his book in the Novel of the Coming Collapse series, Founders, is the third one. And we'll talk about some other things as well with him. And also we'll be reminding you of the upcoming Spokane Sustainable Preparedness Expo and how you could win a brand new Kato Emergency Shortwave Radio Receiver with single sideband. We apologize, but this model does not come with a compass in the stock. We tried. Also, we'll see if we can get John Beale on the line from bywhatstandard.org to talk about a special guest speaker who will be visiting the American Redoubt, Pastor John Weaver, a patriot clergyman with several speaking engagements lined up for the Spokane and Eastern Washington region. Good stuff. But first, the news. The news and commentary segment is sponsored by CampingSurvival.com. Meeting your disaster preparedness needs for any situation, anytime, anywhere. Check them out by clicking on the CampingSurvival.com banner on the right side and about halfway down. First story, pastors pledge to defy the IRS and preach politics from the pulpit ahead of the election. They did this last year. This has been an annual event, and they are pushing the envelope. More than 1,000 pastors are planning to challenge the IRS next month by deliberately preaching politics ahead of the presidential election, despite a federal ban on endorsements from the pulpit. The defiant move, they hope, will prompt the IRS to enforce a 1954 tax code amendment that prohibits tax-exempt organizations such as churches from making political endorsements. Alliance Defending Freedom, which is holding the October summit, said it wants the IRS to press the matter so it can be decided in court. Good move. Play on their field by their rules. The group believes the law violates the First Amendment by muzzling preachers. Of course it does. He says the purpose is to make sure that the pastor and not the IRS decides what is said from the pulpit, said Eric Stanley from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Good stuff. Economic collapse and the federal debt. Here's a good one that Special Agent Morgan Ryder dug up. Sunday will mark the start of the 100-day countdown to Taxmageddon, is what they're calling it. The date that the largest tax hikes in the history of America, let that sink in, will take effect. They will hit families and small businesses in three huge waves starting on January 1st of 2013. The first wave is the expiration of the 2001 and 2003 tax relief. In 2001 and 2003, the GOP Congress enacted several tax cuts for business owners, families, and investors. There's a bunch of stuff going on here. I'm going to post this so that you can see the various different tax brackets and how they are going to be increased. The second wave, though, is the so-called Obamacare. Those are the tax hikes that will be kicked in. Medical device tax, medical payroll tax hike, special needs kids tax, haircut for medical itemized deductions goes into force on January 1. So they're going to be they're going to be racking it up. And then the third wave is the alternative minimum tax and employer tax hikes. So anyway, there's a bunch here. There's a bunch of supporting documentation. We're about ready to get pinned to the wall with taxes, not to mention they're taxing us through inflation, which is preceding the coming, what everyone's calling it, imminent hyperinflation period that we all have to look forward to. You better be investing in some metals and some other things that could, tangibles, anything that you can put in your hand, really important. Oh, we haven't had a propaganda alert in a while, have we? Millions in taxpayer money used to place Obamacare propaganda in TV shows. Several of you sent this one in. Before the Democrat-led Congress voted to approve President Obama's health care reform law, then House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of California declared, "We have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it." Well, never before in recent memory has a sitting House Speaker demonstrated such disregard for the public's right to know regarding a massive new entitlement, what it meant to them, what it could eventually cost, and more importantly, its impact on our society. And this comes from, this was from naturalnews.com, I believe. That is the source that's at the bottom of that. Now, some 2.5 years later, with most public opinion polls still showing that a majority of voters dislike Obamacare, Americans are going to be spoon-fed propaganda regarding the law's benefits, while, of course, the law's negative effects on employment, business expansion, on the ability of the healthcare system to even handle the coming tsunami of new patients will be ignored and downplayed. What's more, you're going to be paying for this propaganda. They are pushing and paying, from what I understand from several different sources, that these television shows that will be coming out of the propaganda machine in Hollywood will be integrating strong pro-Obamacare messages into their television shows. And you get to pay for that propaganda. There's just a bunch of stuff that I'm not going to be able to get to in this segment. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to post these up in a separate independent posting on the website because there's just so much. In the Texas Redoubt, there's a huge battle over Agenda 21. There's a growing trend of parents getting cited and sometimes arrested for letting their kids play outside. More documentation showing Russia's and China's economic warfare plans to destroy America economically. Of course, if they just be a little patient, we're destroying our own economy from the inside. There's more, a bunch more. I'll have to get all that up for you in the next few hours. Okay, real quick, I got a letter from a listener about the Fidget visitor tracker that we have over there on the right and down about halfway on the website at radiofreeredoubt.com. This listener writes in and says, you need to remove that tracker because myself and others don't like being able to see, don't like others being able to see who we are and where we are. Okay, first of all, that tracker there, that Fidget tracker, it shows the city and the state of someone who's visiting. And it's based off their IP address, but it doesn't log. You can't go and see anyone's IP address. And an IP address only shows you the city anyway. It's not like they can use your IP address and walk right up to your house and knock on the door. So if it shows that there is someone from Kalispell, Montana that just visited the site, there is that one person in Kalispell is among about 30,000 other people. There's no way to pin down a specific person or individual. If you look at the live streaming portion of that, you can see that they're using Windows 7. You can see that, or if they're on a Mac, you can see if they're using Firefox or Internet Explorer. But it has, there is no OPSEC violation there at all. We're very OPSEC conscious. The other thing, too, is that just because it says you're from Kalispell doesn't mean that's where you're located. For example, when I go on there, it shows that the nearest town to me just arrived on Radio Free Redoubt. But it's actually not the closest town for me. That's just where my IP address or my internet provider, their hub is based out of. And so it doesn't give anything away anyway. Just to put some people's mind to rest, if they're looking at that going, oh, it just showed my town that, you know, you're expecting a SWAT team to come kicking your door in any moment because you visited Radio Free Redoubt and it has your town and your city right there. Not the case. Now, there's a benefit to it, and this is why I'm saying all this, just because for anyone who has any concerns about that, there's no OPSEC violation. There's no way to pinpoint who you are and your address or your exact location. But what it does do is it creates activity. It creates momentum. When somebody sees a lot of activity, they go, wow, look at all the people visiting the site just in the last 10 minutes or the last hour. That activity creates activity and it creates momentum for people to continuously, they look at that and say, oh, there must be something important going on here. I don't want to miss out on that. I want to see what's going on with this website, Radio Free Redoubt. A lot of other people are visiting it, so I guess I should too. That's kind of a marketing ploy, I know. But we want as many people as possible to get the message out about the American Redoubt movement. We really see it as a message of hope in otherwise hopeless world where we see everything coming down around us. And so anything that will help promote that and create the momentum and keep high number counts, visitors coming to the site, we want to do that. And that kind of excites that. We really saw the numbers go up once we put that tracker on there and people saw that it's not just some fringe thing that them and two other people are visiting. There's actually thousands and thousands of people that are hitting the site. We're up over 200,000 page views since February, I think. And that's really big for as young as we are. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to get James Rawls on the line and talk about his new book, Founders, a novel of the coming collapse. So stay right there. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog and the Tactical Tip of the Week. The term group standard, made popular by James Wesley Rawls in his novel The Patriots, is heard frequently within prepper circles. But what does it mean, and how do you apply it in your preparedness efforts? It is, quite simply, buying or procuring items that take the same parts, whether they be magazines, ammunition, batteries, or any other preparedness items. For instance, if you buy a piece of electronic equipment, think to yourself, will I have to buy special batteries, or will the batteries I have on hand do? At our home, group standard for batteries is AA and D. The D batteries power large portable radios and large flashlights, where the AA batteries power all of my two-way radios, small flashlights, night vision, and electronic sights such as EOTech and Aimpoint. So before you buy, consider if your purchase will match your group standard. This is Sir Knight with the Paratus Familia blog on Radio Free Redoubt.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Redoubt blog to learn more.
Okay, welcome back once again from the break. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you're tuned into Radio Free Redoubt. Like I said, right before the break, we got a special guest. You all know who it is. We're talking about James Rawls, the New York Times best-selling survivalist fiction author, former Army intelligence officer, and the senior editor over at survivalblog.com. He's got a new book coming out, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, among some other things, just like we promised you. Mr. Rawls, it's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt once again.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, now you've got a new book. We're going to talk about this briefly. A lot of our listeners are already familiar with your work, and they're anticipating this. So we'll talk about this just a little bit, and then we'll talk about some of the other topics, some of the retreat selection, retreat development type of questions that we've had listeners ask us about. So let's talk about Founders, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. This is the third one, and this is coming out when?
It's coming out on Tuesday, September 25th of 2012, and it, again, yes, is my third novel, although it's important to point out that my novels are all designed to stand alone. Since they're contemporaneous with each other, they're all set in that same time period of the near future. You don't have to already know the characters. In fact, there's only a couple of crossover characters in this novel from the previous ones. I try to make each novel stand on its own, and I try to squeeze a few practical tips into each novel as well, so that people can not just have the fun of the roller coaster ride of reading a thriller book, but also pick up on some practical tactical tips.
Absolutely, and in fact, this is one of the two books that when I so often get new people that are their eyes are opened up to what's going on in the world, and they say, how do I prepare? First thing I do is say, read Patriots, A Novel of the Coming Collapse. Start from there, and then that's the primer. And so all of these, I said all that to basically say that what I've really appreciated about these books is that it is a how-to manual on so many levels, addresses so many issues with an entertaining and thought-provoking story running through it. So what can we expect from Founders with this new story coming? Are we going to be following a retreat group? Or are we going to be following multiple characters?
There's three different storylines interwoven in the course of the novel. One of the main storylines that will be familiar to anyone who's read Patriots is a detailed description of the cross-country journey of Ken and Terry Layton as they make their way from Chicago to the retreat in northern Idaho.
Okay.
That was only briefly described in the book Patriots, and I've had folks bug me over the years who really wanted to know more about exactly how that all transpired. So I had the chance in this book to spell it all out in detail and a little bit more about their background, the Tridentine Mass Catholic Church that they attended and so forth. Anyway, so that's one of the storylines. The other storyline involves one of the characters, or a couple of the characters from Survivors, and that's Andy Lane, who is in the book Survivors. Was his journey all the way from Afghanistan back to New Mexico was described.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in this book, it describes later, after he's back in New Mexico, how he and his wife infiltrate the new army, the provisional government's army at Fort Knox, Kentucky.
Right.
He basically volunteers to go back on active duty simply to infiltrate the new army and gather intelligence for the resistance. And I don't want to give away too many details about that, but it's its own exciting read. So a lot of that takes place in Tennessee and Kentucky.
Okay.
There's also a minor storyline involving an attorney in Muddy Pond, Tennessee, who was briefly mentioned in the second book.
Yes.
And there's a new character introduced, a completely new character, and that's a Air Force NCO named Joshua Watanabe, who is at Malmstrom Air Force Base in western Montana.
Yes.
And I wanted to show, I'd mentioned what had gone on with some military organizations, but the Air Force is kind of a special case because they hold a large number of nuclear weapons, and I wanted to describe how the remaining cadre at an Air Force base would do their best to try to secure a critical resource like that.
Sure.
Even though things had completely fallen apart and they were in a situation where they literally weren't even able to feed their airmen. So I described what the base commander would have would likely do under such a circumstance to try to keep those individual silos and the missile alert facilities, the MAFs, secure.
Okay.
So I introduced this new character and of course, gave him a love interest and all that. I wanted to make it an interesting read and give a little bit more detail on how a individual ranching family might pull through a situation like that. So I tried to roll a couple of things into one with those characters. So I hope that the new novel is of interest to folks who enjoy my books and that they're thought-provoking. And like my other books, I hope that folks will take the time to read it twice, the first time through for fun and the second time through with a notepad and a yellow highlighter in your hand.
Yeah, you could definitely turn these into study manuals. And I had mentioned to you earlier in the week that how I had started rereading, I'm three quarters of the way through Survivors, and didn't realize how much I missed the first time. Really pertinent information that's applicable. And another thing that really grabbed me is how you went from Patriots to Survivors, really developing these characters like Ian and Blanca, for example, that mm-hmm. that was just in a way that made you just really fall in love with these characters and you're rooting for them all the way through. So I'm really glad that you're doing that also with some of the characters that we already feel like we know in Founders. One of the other things that jumped out at me was how you've included so many different areas of the country. You didn't stay in, the North Idaho retreat type of that one dimensional atmosphere because we've got listeners, redoubters and redoubters at heart outside the wire all over the country. And there's other redoubts that are forming. And some of these places could be very viable fallback positions.
Well, they certainly could, yes, especially northern New Mexico because it's a natural gas-producing area.
Yes.
That's why I picked that locale for Survivors, for example.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned Tennessee and, that area.
The Cumberland Plateau of Tennessee, which is where Muddy Pond is located, if I was going to be east of the Missouri River, that would probably be one of the prime locations that I would consider.
Yes. And we've got redoubters in that area, or they plan to redoubt to that area, when the crunch comes down.
I see. Okay.
So that's interesting to them. It kind of gives them hope because a lot of people feel like they want to make it to the American redoubt, but some of them don't feel like it's viable. And so there are some other alternatives out there. Might not be ideal, compared to the American redoubt, but it's viable opportunities for them as well. And you kind of develop that in your stories.
Right. Now, just as a little bit of a tease, I am now working on my fourth novel. It's going to be titled Expatriates.
Yes.
And it's about one-third written already. It is going to be set in three locales. It's going to be set in Tavares, Florida, which is in central Florida, just across the lake from Mount Dora, which is where the classic novel Alas, Babylon was set.
Ah.
And the sister of one of those characters is the wife of a missionary in the Philippines. And so the other one of the three main storylines is in the Philippines, and it involves a husband and wife and their daughter and their escape from the Philippines in the midst of the economic collapse. Because what happens in the Philippines is the government of Indonesia takes advantage of the power vacuum and the loss of all of the treaty relationships that had existed between the Western nations to go ahead and invade the Philippines.
Oh, okay.
And then they end up fleeing the Philippines and heading toward Australia. And then the third storyline involves some characters in Australia, including another American expatriate who is a American petroleum engineer and his fiance, an Australian college student. And they end up meeting the group from the Philippines that arrives as refugees in Darwin, Australia, in northern Australia.
Okay.
And then it gets really interesting when Australia is invaded by Indonesia toward the end of the scenario. So,
wow.
And it all comes to a head there. So that's what folks have to look forward to in the novel Expatriates. I wanted to show more international perspectives in this book, but you know, given the sensibilities of the American novel market, I thought it was wise to make the main characters overseas be American expatriates. So I was able to show what was going on in foreign countries, but still have the book quite marketable to the American and Canadian market.
Well, that's smart, because just like Doyle, who was that, that made it back from Afghanistan?
That was Andy Lane.
Exactly, through Europe. Because we've got listeners, and of course you've got a lot of followers on Survival Blog who are stationed overseas, and we've got missionaries that are, and I hear from them, we've got people in Australia, they're in the Philippines. Of course, there you got the Abu Sayyaf, you know, the Muslim group that would be more than happy for a power vacuum to occur. And we've got missionaries in all these places. There's American oil workers. We've got a lot of people that are concerned about, what if all this goes down when I'm overseas? So I think that would be some really good food for thought for people
I hope the people will enjoy that. The next two books are actually being written for another publisher. I signed a contract with E.P. Dutton simply because my contract with Atria was for two books, and they didn't want to extend the contract for two more books. They only wanted to do one more. So I started looking for another publisher, and E.P. Dutton, which happens to be the parent company of Penguin Books, who publishes my nonfiction book, How to Survive the End of the World as We Know It,
okay,
gave me a nice advance and gave me the opportunity to write the books however I wanted to. So I went ahead and switched to E.P. Dutton. The book Founders, of course, is coming out in September of 2012. The book Expatriates should be out in October of 2013, Lord willing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, I hope we can. I hope we'll have the opportunity to read that, because we all need more time.
Yeah, although I gotta wonder what the cover price will be.
Well, $6.5 million, or yeah, you know, two silver quarters. No kidding. Okay, well, I'm definitely looking forward to those. I'm looking forward to Tuesday, and I've been holding off because the book Founders is available right now. Correct.
Yes, it's actually available for pre-order, but I'd actually rather that people wait until Tuesday, the 25th of September, to order.
Okay.
And most of that is just the simple desire to see the book get into Amazon's top 10, just like what happened with Survivors. It made it to number 2 on Amazon overall briefly during the day,
right,
on Book Bomb Day. But part of it is, though, is it's in the best interest of readers. If they all order on the same day, the way that the Amazon ordering system is set up, it's semi-automated. And the more people that order, the lower the price of the book drops. And everyone who orders on that day will be, when their bill finally goes through to their credit card later in the day, they'll all take advantage of the lower price. So I'm hoping the price will drop down. Currently, it's around $15.30 on pre-order.
Okay.
I'm hoping that if they wait until Book Bomb Day, everybody orders the morning of the 25th, that the price will drop down to about $10.75, which is not bad for a hardback nowadays.
No, not at all. Okay, well, what we're going to do then, of course, we've got a link posted on the highlights and resources posting for today's show so people can read more about it. But then also, we'll put a posting up on Book Bomb Day to remind the listeners to go ahead and try to take advantage of that, drive the cost down, drive the ratings up, and, of course, sales and momentum builds momentum. So we'd be
That's more right. Nothing succeeds like success.
That's right. It's contagious. So we'll go ahead and do that. Now, we're going to take just a short break. And when we come back, I want to talk about applying some of the stuff that you're writing about with these characters. We've got a lot more people. The prepper movement is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're starting to see organization of co-ops develop, and people are developing retreats unlike we've seen at any time in the past. So I'd like to pick your brain a little bit, and if you could share some of your expertise in that area with the listeners, if you'd be willing to stick around.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, super.
I'll be happy to answer some questions.
Okay, great. You're listening to James Rawls from SurvivalBlog.com on the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Samuel Adams said, "If you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contests of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you are our countrymen." These bold words were a scathing rebuke against his fellow countrymen, who preferred to let tyranny prevail for a few handouts from the crown. I echo Mr. Adams' timeless sentiments. Sadly, today, we are once again surrounded by fellow countrymen who have lost their will to continue in the contest of freedom and have determined to become slaves for the tranquil lives they hold more dear than the liberty they've squandered. And as an American, I struggle to call them my countrymen. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
All right, you're tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and we're visited, in case you're joining us late, by James Rawls, the successful author and senior editor at survivalblog.com. Most of you are all survival bloggers yourself, like we are, so you're already familiar with them. We're continuing on, though, and we talked a little bit before the break about the books, and specifically Founders, which is coming out on Tuesday. Check back on Book Bomb Day and order yours from Amazon. We'll have a direct link for you. But we want to do some follow-up questions here. We've got a lot of listeners through T-Rex 2012, which was a huge success. We started learning about some co-ops that are developing and groups, whether it's in your church group, friends, family, other like-minded people that are starting to think about the imminent economic collapse that's coming sometime in our future, hopefully not too soon. But more and more of you are organizing. You are developing retreats or plans to at least cooperate or build co-ops together. And so while we've got the expert on the line, we want to pick his brain a little bit. So, Mr. Rawls, thanks for sticking around through the break. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. A lot of people starting out, there's a lot of preppers. You don't use the word survivalist too much anymore, but the preppers are, many of them are new because this tidal wave of new people coming on board saying, where do I start? And then they read Patriots. They see a need to develop a retreat or a retreat group for mutual assistance. What's your advice to someone saying, where do I start?
Well, I think the important thing, well, first and foremost, is to get right with God, because you can't expect God's covenant blessings unless you're in the covenant.
Amen.
And then beyond that, you need to sit down and deliberate what your personal situation is and your family situation is. If you have the opportunity to relocate, that's fantastic. If you're self-employed, or if you're nearing retirement age, or you're already retired, by all means, move to a lightly populated area that's a agricultural area with plentiful water and good topsoil, and that's well removed from major population centers. That's fantastic. Now, I recognize that most people don't have the opportunity to do that, either because of their work commitments or family obligations, they have to stay either in the big city or in the suburbs, or you know, or in the countryside, but in a state that's not ideal.
Right.
And for those folks, all that I can say is do your very best with the circumstances you have. Team up with folks that you know you can trust, from friends from church, your neighbors, close friends, relatives. You need to stock up and team up. And it's just a matter of doing the best you can with what you've got. If you do have the opportunity to relocate, I recommend, of course, the American Redoubt states would be the very top of my list. You know, there's some other areas like the Cumberland Plateau in Tennessee is quite nice. Northern Maine is about as good as you're going to get on the East Coast.
Yeah.
There's some other pretty decent areas to consider. But no matter where you locate yourself, it's important that you find a property that is away from refugee and looter lines of drift. Ideally, you want to be well removed from any major cities and off of any major interstate freeways. You want to be at least 20 or 30 miles from the nearest interstate. And ideally, you should be several miles away from any state highway. And best place to be would be on a side road of a side road.
Yes.
So basically, the last place that people will look or likely wander into is where you want to be. And from there, pick a property that has line of sight to neighbors that you can trust and that does not have line of sight from any major thoroughfares. So you want to be it sounds almost contradictory, but you want to have good line of sight for perimeter security for your property, yet you don't want your house to be visible from a county road. So you want to have a screen of trees. And typically that means you're going to have at least 10 acres to make that happen, to be able to meet both of those criteria.
And for many people, that might be discouraging because that just might seem out of reach for most people.
It could be. Although, you know, if folks have country cousins, it would behoove you to get to know them really well.
Yeah, yes.
They have the opportunity to team up. And, of course, the other criteria that's crucial for property is a good water source. The ideal situation, of course, is gravity-fed spring water from end to end, right, where you have a spring that's, I say, 40 to 70 feet higher than your house, and you can literally just have year-round gravity-fed water without a pump in the entire system. That's the ideal. The next step down, of course, would be a shallow well that you would pump photovoltaically or with wind power or whatever. But
even a hand pump.
Or even a hand pump if it's on a shallow well. And the crucial number for shallow wells is 33. You want to be less than 33 feet of well depth because that's one atmosphere, and that's essentially the limit for a traditional hand pump where the pump cylinder sits at the top of the well.
Right.
Anything deeper than one atmosphere, you need to have the pump cylinder in the bottom of the well connected by a sucker rod. Like a traditional windmill pump where the sucker rod runs up and down. Now, they do make hand pumps with a sucker rod, but they're more complicated. They're higher maintenance, and the deeper the well, the less the output and the more weight that has to be pulled up.
Right.
So by all means, do your very best to find a property with a shallow well. We're talking 30 feet or less.
Right, right. And for some of the folks that might just be out of reach for them right now, or maybe they're planning on that, and then everything goes down 6 months from now, but they're a year away from affecting their plans. It goes back to doing the best you can with what you've got.
That's right.
You know,
and
capturing rainwater.
I don't want to discourage the folks that feel trapped in the suburbs living in some apartment. There's a lot you can do even living in an apartment.
Absolutely.
If you're an apartment dweller and you're not already sprouting four or five different types of seeds, you're behind the power curve. That's something you can do anywhere.
Yes.
You can have sprouts growing in your cupboards, in your kitchen, and you could have all the neighbors in the world come visit, and they will never be any the wiser that you're doing that. It's a very covert prep, and I highly recommend it. You multiply the nutritional value of your seed many times over by sprouting them.
Yes.
So that's, you know, that's a no-brainer. That's something everybody should be doing. Every apartment dweller should also have a good quality water filter. And, of course, all the self-defense, first aid, communications equipment can be very compact.
Yes.
So even if you're planning to bug out as an apartment dweller, there's a lot that you can do to prepare. Don't feel discouraged.
Right. And I always recommend to people that are in that situation, develop those relationships with people that are outside of the suburbs that have adequate space to grow a garden. You know, like you said, you've got to join together. You got to band together with other like-minded people.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of people that write me as the editor of Survival Blog, and they say, well, I'm planning to go it alone, and I'm so remote, no one will ever find me. Well, I've got to say, I live in a very remote area, but I don't have any expectations that I'll never be found.
Right.
And I think it's unrealistic for someone to think that they're going to be able to provide for their own security 24/7, 360 degrees, and 365 days a year. It's just not going to happen. You're going to burn yourself out, and you're going to have lapses in your security. And even if you were to say you had just two families together and you were able to maintain 24/7 security, but that wouldn't leave any extra manpower for all the heavy tasks like gardening and firewood cutting and hay cutting and everything else.
Yeah.
That's what I tried to describe in the novel Patriots. So it really takes at least a three-family group to maintain security. If you're in a suburban situation or in the dreaded ranchette scenario,
yeah,
where you have a whole bunch of little five-acre places and you have line of sight to your neighbors, you really need to develop a neighborhood watch on steroids.
Yes.
It's going to take teaming up with three, four, or five families, and that way you'll have good security and you can break up those responsibilities and be able to sleep at night. I couldn't imagine being out by myself with nobody, no backup, nobody to rely on. I would be a nervous wreck in days.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a one of our Amron ham operators emailed me saying that he's putting together a neighborhood watch because they're in a very similar situation. Outside of the city in a nice neighborhood, similar to what you described in, where was that, Prescott, Arizona?
Oh, in Survivors, yes. Right,
in Survivors. But he said that he talked to a couple, or he talked to all of his neighbors about the prospect, and one of them said, yeah, I think this is a good idea, and they actually started talking about it, but the rest of them looked at him like he was some kind of a freak. And so basically,
yeah,
you have to, if you don't have the cooperation, those people will come around.
Oh, well, there's going to be, you know, 11th hour believers, I'm sure.
Yes.
Because when everything's falling apart, suddenly your neighbor's going to say, oh, you were right.
Right.
Well, but of course, they're logistically going to be behind the power curve.
Yes.
But and there's some things you should really do. If you suspect that's going to happen and you have neighbors that are close by, you should probably pick up a couple of extra military surplus field telephones and a few hundred extra yards of commo wire, for example.
Right.
Because you may have to equip those folks at least with communications equipment to make them part of the equation.
Right. Yeah, and a few packs of garden seeds. They're your volunteer gardeners.
Right. Yeah, they're going to be 11th hour believers on gardening, too.
Yep. okay, now I'll just ask you one last question. I'll let you get going because I know you're extremely busy. You've got a lot of stuff lined up. But you're talking about joining together with others, approaching what you hope to would be like-minded friends or family. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that blows up. How do you balance vetting somebody, approaching them with this concept of, you know, developing some type of a retreat group or a co-op with OPSEC?
Well, my advice is to go slow. The best thing to do is, if you live in earthquake country, start talking earthquakes with your neighbors. If you live in hurricane country, start talking hurricanes with your neighbors. And or if you live in heavy snow country, start talking, you know, snowdrift, worst case, snowplow can't get through situations.
Right.
That's the way to approach it. Don't go full bore and start talking Teotihuacan to your neighbors if you don't know where their head is.
Right.
You really want to find out, you know, what perspective they're coming from, and work your way into it slowly. And if they if they balk and say, I don't know, that sounds kind of radical to me, it might be a good time to back off.
Sure.
But if they're enthusiastic, by all means, then go on to the next step and talk about doing cooperative group purchases of things like bulk foods.
Yes.
And batteries and items like that. And if that goes well, then start talking about some of the other things that go along with setting up a perimeter of security and communications and providing for medical assistance and so forth.
Right.
You really need to take it a step at a time. You don't want to plunge in and pardon me for mixing metaphors, and show your hand.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to become labeled as the local survivalist wingnut.
Right.
It just doesn't do, especially if you live in one of those private gated communities with a homeowners association. That's the last thing you want to have happen.
Yeah. I was going to say that fortunately, just because of the environment that we're living in, it's undeniable something's not right. Even the conventional news media is saying things are not well. And
right.
So people are starting to wake up. So being approached is actually the best scenario. Then you can say, well, I read Patriots or I read One Second After, and it really got us thinking. Let me, you know, give it to you to read and you tell me what you think, and then we'll go from there.
Been a good approach.
Pretty good approach for the people that are waking up saying, what do I do? Brings them up to speed. It's kind of otherwise they are the uninitiated, and you can really overwhelm them.
Right. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, and that is I think in the next few years we're going to see more planned communities that are built around a survival concept. I think that's the next logical step. And once it catches on, it'll spread like wildfire. And essentially what people will want to do is set up private gated communities. But instead of traditional homeowners association CC&Rs, they're going to have covenants and codicils that actually encourage a prepper lifestyle. So instead of saying you can only have one horse, they'll actually encourage people to have just about every type of livestock except swine.
Right.
And instead of saying you can't have any antennas visible on your house, they'll actually encourage people to have ham radio gear.
Yes.
And they'll encourage people to have photovoltaic panels, which a lot of HOAs don't currently allow. I have a feeling that these will be catered to different socioeconomic levels, all the way from middle class to upper class. And the upper class ones are essentially going to be run like modern day country clubs, where you have to be voted into the country club to be allowed to buy a piece of property on the estate or whatever they're going to call it.
Right.
I think that's probably the next wave that we're going to see. But at the grassroots level, of course, there's going to be a lot of neighbors that team up. The consciousness of preparedness is definitely catching on. And if you look at some of the memes that are being promulgated, even by network television, look at the new television series Revolution, for example.
Yeah.
I think 10 years ago, that TV series would have never been made, but it was only because of the growth of the prepper movement and the success of television shows like Jericho that allowed that show to be made.
Yeah, I was just going to mention Jericho. I think that was just about 5 years ahead of its time.
Yes, I don't think that show would have been canceled if it was being made now.
Right. Just too much of an awakening.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my general advice for finding a retreat property and for finding the right folks to team up with. But again, above all, people should be in prayer first. You need to pray for God's providence. You need to pray first to get right with God, to accept Christ as your personal Savior. And then beyond that, you need to pray what I pray every day of my life. Every morning I wake up and I say in my prayers, Lord, put me in the right place at the right time with the right people.
Yeah.
That's the most important prayer that everyone has to keep at the forefront of their minds. And if they keep that in their constant prayers and trust in God's providence to protect his covenant people, he will do just that. We have to have confidence that's what's going to happen.
I believe that. And also, it's encouraging because I mentioned last week in the show, I really believe that we were all born for this time. And we're, you
Amen.
Know, if you're in his will, there's everything is, you know, to trust in him, you've got to believe that we are all exactly where we're supposed to be. And these are going to be very exciting times that are coming up. Try to, you know, look at it that way as an adventure, or instead of some, you know, looming ominous thing hanging over our heads. It's a time for us to rise up and do what we were called to do. So I'm in agreement.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly with that. And in fact, one of the characters in my new book, Founders, that's about to come out, uses the line, "Nothing happens by chance." I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
You have to believe in God's sovereignty. And if you recognize that God is sovereign, then you have to recognize his control over the world. And you have to recognize that he has a purpose in his purpose, not necessarily our purpose, but his purpose for every Christian.
Right.
And we have to trust in God's providence that he will fulfill his purpose for each of us to his glory.
Yes.
And if we live with that as our raison d'etre, then we can live very happy, very productive lives. We can be well prepared, but not be so caught up in gloom and doom that we can't have a normal social life and lead a normal life.
Yes.
That's the perspective I've come from.
Good. I share that perspective. it's really good stuff. Well, hey, it's been really good talking to you again, as usual. And I just thank you for taking the time to be with us and just share some of your thoughts with the listeners. And look forward to doing it again. Really look forward to the book coming out on Tuesday. And we'll definitely do this again, because questions are rolling in that I could try to answer, but I think that you would be just the right guy to address some of these things. And I know that they always enjoy hearing what you have to say. So thanks for coming on Radio Free Readout.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, I will let you get back to all the chaotic, everything that you've got going on. So just hang in there, and we're all looking forward to it coming out. So James Rawls got his book coming out on Tuesday. Don't order it yet. Wait for Book Bomb Day. That's Tuesday, the 25th. You can get it there on Amazon.com. You can go to Radio Free Readout, click on the link. It'll take you right on through. Mr. Rawls, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. One of my favorite expressions while writing my blog posts are use it, use it, use it. This expression was born in the school of hard knocks. Prior to Y2K, my husband and I spent every dime of disposable income in survival preparedness. We and Lehman's Hardware were on a first-name basis. Not only did we stock our pantry with 5-gallon pails of food, we also invested in a wood cook stove, top-of-the-line kerosene lanterns, and even a generator to see us through the worst of the storm. Although Y2K turned out to be a non-event, less than a year later, our family moved and went totally off-grid. Our untested equipment became our worst nightmare. Not only did our generator fail after less than an hour, our expensive, top-of-the-line Petromax lantern leaked like a sieve and eventually caught our kitchen table on fire. Now, anything we purchase, we put to the acid test before we need it. It is a simple thing to repair or replace an item now. However, when Teotihuacan happens, we could literally be up a creek without a paddle. Remember, use it, use it, use it. In the service of the King, this is Enola Gay of the Paratus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
Hi, this is Evelyn with a communication tip in a minute from Radio Free Readout. When it comes to monitoring for information using a scanner or a shortwave receiver, it's a great idea to pre-program the frequencies you'll be monitoring now. This will eliminate additional stress during an emergency situation by being able to go right to a desired frequency or set of frequencies at the push of a button. It's also a great idea to keep a printed hard copy of the frequencies next to your communications equipment, with the names of the channels as well as the pre-programmed channel preset numbers. And remember to practice using your communications equipment often. This has been a public service announcement to support the CH3 Project and AMRON, the American Readout Radio Operators Network.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Have you been searching for a time-proven way to protect your valuables and your loved ones? Rainy Day Root Cellars has the solution. Whether you need safe shelter from a storm, secure protection for your belongings, or a perfect place for your food storage, Rainy Day Root Cellars provides you and your family with the ultimate in discreet and secure protection. Visit them today at www.rainydayrootcellars.com. Rainy Day Root Cellars, security you can count on.
Attention. 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 Stand by for message. The elevator is at the fourth floor. Again, the elevator is at the fourth floor. End of message.
Welcome back to the final segment on episode 1234 on this beautiful, smoky, hazy, sunny Sunday evening in the American Redoubt. There's tons of wildfires going on right now all over the place. Washington, Idaho, Montana, all over. It's just blowing all over the place. Everybody's in a haze, from people from Libby to Kalispell to Wenatchee down to Moscow. It's just all over. Don't forget to check out our sponsor for this segment, OhioKnives.com. Carrying a full line of survival and utility knives and axes for any environment or task that you might have. Plus, they carry the full Berkey water filter line, as well as tactical eyewear, portable solar power rigs, and a lot more. That's OhioKnives.com, and we'll have a link to their site you can simply click on at the bottom of the highlights and resources posting for today's show. Got to support our fellow Patriot-owned businesses. You know, I started reading Rawl's second book, Survivors, again, and I really like it, way more than the first time I read it. I don't know why. But just to reiterate, hold off on buying your copy of Founders, the new one that we just talked about. Hold off until Tuesday. When you get up in the morning, get your coffee, stumble over to your computer, go to radiofreeredoubt.com and click on the posting for Founders, a novel of the coming collapse, book bomb day, and order it right from there. We'll make it super easy with a link to amazon.com. Try to drive that cost down. Then we all benefit. All right, September is a really busy month. Lots of stuff going on. Not only is Founders coming out on Tuesday, Tuesday is also the date for Pastor John Weaver's first speaking engagement in the area, and first of several speaking engagements. That'll be on Tuesday evening in Spokane, Washington. In fact, John Beale from bywhatstandard.org is the point of contact for those events. We're going to see if we can get him on the line. You got it ready? Yeah, dial it up. Let's get him on.
Hello?
Hello, John Beale.
Yes, this is.
Hey, John Jacob Schmidt, Radio Free Readout. How you doing?
I'm doing well, John. Good to hear from you.
I wanted to just get you on the air real quick to talk about Pastor John Weaver that's going to be speaking this week in the Spokane area in the American Redoubt. And so I wanted to remind the listeners that these events are going on. And so is there a way you can just recap for us a little bit about who John Weaver is and some of the things that he's going to be talking about that might be relevant to the listeners?
Certainly, I appreciate that. John Weaver has been preaching for about 47 years. He lives in Georgia and travels the country. That would be the U.S. of A. and also out of the country. Has a fairly extensive ministry. You can find him on the internet, and also you can go on, of course, YouTube or any other source that you're familiar with. But John is a friend of mine. I've asked him to come out to, as you said, the Spokane area, which includes Newman Lake and Colville, and actually also Deer Lake, for all our events, which commence on the 25th, which would be Tuesday at 4 o'clock until 5:30 for our first meeting, which is essentially for leaders and activists and pastors and elders and people who are real concerned about public policy and what our role should be in the civil sphere. That's 4 to 5:30 on Tuesday the 25th, and that would be out on North Idaho Road, which is Word of Life Conference Center, 6703 North Idaho Road in North Newman Lake. And after that, people can break for dinner from 5:30 to 7, and then we will have a 7 to 9 meeting at the church itself there, which is right next door to the conference center. And so that's Tuesday night in Newman Lake. John, the overall theme for all the meetings will be God and government. We've asked two questions. Does he care, God, care, and is God here, or is he there? In other words, does he care about the civil sphere, and is he engaged in government and civil politic, or is he somewhere distant and we needn't be concerned and not, certainly not participate? We also ask the question, who defines liberty and justice for all? And if you won't, who will? And if not this election, then when? So we have some relevant questions and some very exciting topics. We're going to talk about the institution and the covenantal nature and purpose of government. We're going to ask if we must obey ungodly government and if authority is usurped. By the government, God's authority usurped by the government, is it legitimate? How do we relate to that as citizens and as Christians?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the pastor as magistrate and his responsibility in the civil sphere. Statism is idolatry. And are we more of a friend of Caesar than we are of Christ? So some very relevant, dynamic topics that we're going to be addressing.
Very relevant and timely.
Very timely.
Especially as we see this tyranny rise up, even in our own country.
In our own country, and as you say, in Spokane area. The other two locations, John, while we're on the subject, is Wednesday the 26th in the morning and in the evening at Turning Point Open Bible in Spokane on North Division.
Okay.
And then Thursday is up in Colville. Same, similar meeting, 4 to 5:30, then dinner. And then 7 to 9 is the evening meeting.
Super. Okay, we're going to post all of those times, locations, with some links to some Google Maps. And also one thing for the Newman Lake location, that was listed on the flyer as the Word of Life Conference Center in Newman Lake, which actually that is, if you try Googling that, you won't find directions to it because it is actually listed under Word of Life Community Church. If you put the address down there, 6703 North Idaho Road in Newman Lake, Washington, that'll take you to Word of Life Community Church. Just for the people that are looking for Word of Life Conference Center, that might throw them off.
The conference center is right next door, and it's actually, and that is an error on my part, it's actually Word of Life Bible Training Center.
Okay.
But it's right next door to the church. The evening meeting will be at the church itself, and the afternoon meeting is in the conference center.
Good to know, and I'm sure there'll be plenty of signs and directions and everything.
Same property, real easy to find.
At each of those locations.
Yes.
So. Okay, and then, of course, people can find out more about some of the training that you put on that's really relevant to patriot Christians living in America at bywhatstandard.org, Nullifying Tyranny Inside and Out, which is the subtitle for that. Excellent. Okay, John, thank you so much for being with us. We want to get that word out to our listeners. I hope to run into several of them throughout the week at Pastor John Weaver's speaking engagements. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great. Thank you, John.
Okay. And then also, as a reminder, we will get all of those dates posted, locations, and the links. So you can see Pastor John Weaver's the PDF flyer for those events. If you remember, we had John Beal on a few weeks ago in the show titled The Need for Godly Men, Godly Leaders, Godly Guidance. What a difference in sound quality. That's because we finally got our Skype account upgraded thanks to a small donation from a listener. Wow, what a difference. John Beal is a great patriot, and we're extremely blessed to have him inside the American Redoubt. We'll need a lot more like him in the times ahead. Anyway, if you're in the area, please make it a point to attend one of these events. Get a hold of your elected officials, especially your God-fearing, liberty-loving leaders, and especially your pastors. In the times ahead, there will be basically two two categories of clergy. The patriots, like we saw in America's first and so far only Revolutionary War. Black robe regiment types, like we see today with Pastor John Weaver, John Beale, Chaplain Mick, and Chuck Baldwin. And there's the second type, the pacifistic lemmings that'll actually be trying to convince you to go along with the tyrants and submit to their godless and God-hating agenda, their plans for disarming, persecuting, oppressing, and tyrannizing Christians and Jews across the country and around the world. That's the other type of so-called clergy. Urge your pastor to attend one of these events. Then, gauging his reaction, you'll know if you're sitting under leadership you want to be under in a collapse, or if you should be thinking about switching churches. Pretty good litmus test, if you ask me. Okay, the other thing coming up, next Sunday, the Spokane Sustainable Preparedness Expo. The doors open at 10 a.m., and that goes till 6 p.m. If you're the 10th person to walk up to the Paratus Familia blog booth and say, I'm a redoubter, you'll be the proud new owner of a brand new Kato Emergency Shortwave Single Sideband Radio. Great little portable emergency radio. You'll probably want to invest in a good wire antenna to increase its performance even more. That'll be a lot of fun. The expo. Lots of great booths there too, and tons of prepper and self-sufficient living resources and some great speakers lined up from what I understand. I know there's something that I'm forgetting, but I can't think of it. Well, if it's something super important, I'll post it on the website. All right. Right after the show, we'll be airing an episode of Cloak and Dagger, old-time radio classics, telling the stories of OSS agents behind enemy lines during World War II. Then right after that, we'll be re-airing the show you just heard in case you missed any of it. And later tonight, we'll be uploading the podcast version so you can listen to that during the week, like so many of you like to do. And of course, you can always download the most recent Radio Free Readout episode on iTunes as well. And remember to tell your like-minded friends about the American Readout movement and share Radio Free Readout with them as well. Love the letters of encouragement and suggestions and feedback this week. Thank you so much. You all have a blessed week as you prayerfully make your plans to prepare, to learn new skills, to relocate, and to fight to protect yourselves and your children from the enemies of liberty. This concludes yet another episode of the John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Readout. Until we meet up again, Lord willing, same place, same time, next Sunday. Good night.